he's the son of a judge. Wall Street right now, the Dow down 5 points. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. I had a great service last night as we were looking at the DVD, Resisting the Green Dragon, at our church. I mentioned it yesterday during the program while we watched that segment. This particular one was about mysticism and the mysticism that was involved in the teaching of the radical environmentalism. We've been looking at that whole subject, you know, radical environmentalism versus biblical stewardship of the earth. And last night was our third installment in a 12-week DVD series that we're watching called Resisting the Green Dragon, and it was just very good. We're learning a lot throughout this entire series. I just mentioned that to encourage you to listen in on Wednesdays. On Wednesday's broadcast, I've been doing an interview with somebody related to the DVD, Resisting the Green Dragon, each and every Wednesday afternoon. And next week I'll be talking to some more folks from the Cornwall Alliance, the folks that produce that DVD, so you don't want to miss that. Also, yesterday's program, before I get to talking about what we're going to do today, yesterday's program, in the first segment of it, I spoke with Mindy Bells, the editor of World Magazine. Always a pleasure to have Mindy on. She's so knowledgeable about what's taking place around the world. She not only writes about these subjects, but she's actually been there. She's been around the world quite often. She's on location very often doing some reporting for World Magazine. And so it's just a pleasure to have her with us on the program on a regular basis, where she gives us such good insight into what's taking place from a Christian perspective. World Magazine does that as a whole. Marvin Olasky and Mindy Bells and many of the other great folks that work there at World Magazine. But if you didn't get a chance to hear it, she gave us some really good perspective on what is taking place in Cairo, in Egypt right now, and how we as Christians should be looking at this. What sort of perspective should we have on what's taking place? Now, there's two places that you can find that interview. One, all of the interviews that I do, the audio files are available out on www.knowingthetruth.org and out on sermonaudio.com, knowingthetruth/knowingthetruth. But also the Wednesday interviews that I do with World Magazine turns those into podcasts. And so you can go to www.worldmag.com and go to their podcast segment, and you'll be able to listen to just that segment that I do with the folks from World Magazine. So that's available to you as well. On today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject and a very important subject, maybe one of the most important subjects that we talk about, especially for parents in our listening audience. We're talking about parenting today, and even more specifically, we're talking about the idea of intentional parenting, family discipleship by design, you know, not by happenstance, not by occasional falling into it, this idea, or slipping into it, but by design, looking at what we've been given to do as parents, and how do we do this in a way that is honoring to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is true to the gospel, and is really honoring to God. Let me just read a little bit of a segment here that I put on the blog this morning. I write a webcast blog for each one of the programs that I do, and that's available out at sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. I just posted this one last night. Have well over 300 people already been out there to read it. It says this. On the program today, my guest will be Dr. Tad Thompson. He's the pastor of the Harvard Avenue Baptist Church in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and the author of the book Intentional Parenting, Family Discipleship by Design. There are literally thousands of books available on how to live various aspects of the Christian life, and of these, at least a couple of dozen pertaining to family life and child training are well worth reading. This is not one of those books. This book is designed to help you take those other books, as well as all the sermons and teachings and the exhortations you have received on child training and leadership in the home, and to make sense of it all. Pastor Tad Thompson has assembled a biblical approach to effective family discipleship. Let him share with you this clear, encouraging, accessible book. This is not another book on tactics and techniques. It is a book on strategy for parents who want to be intentional about discipleship in their home. And that's what makes this book unique among parenting books. It's about the strategy of doing this, not so much about another technique or tip in parenting. With that, let me go ahead and welcome onto the Knowing the Truth radio program today, Dr. Tad Thompson. Tad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
Well, I just got the book recently, and actually you sent me the PDF for it, and I've been reading through it, and boy, it's very, very good. You did an excellent job on putting this together. I just gave the little blurb from Cruciform Press, the publisher. By the way, let me tell the listening audience that you can go out to their website at www.cruciformpress.com. I will be giving away copies of the book today, by the way, courtesy of Cruciform Press and the Knowing the Truth radio program. But produced by them, I just read the blurb that they put for it. But let me give you an opportunity to flesh that out a little bit. Why is this book so unique, and why did you decide to write another book on parenting?
Well, it really all started about 10 years ago when I was in ministry in the local church, and I began to discover that I could probably have a greater impact on my students if I was focusing in on their parents. And I really started to begin thinking about these things back then. And then another key moment was we did a survey at our church here in Siloam Springs about 4 years ago, and the survey revealed that over 80% of our parents rarely or never discussed spiritual matters in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, that was very jarring to me, and I just really felt like something has to be done about this. And so that's when I really just began thinking about developing a structure, a model, to help parents think about and discipling their children in the home. And so it's just really through that thinking and processing and studying that this book really came out of that.
I had a similar experience in my Christian life. I had been working for a little bit as a youth work and doing various types of youth work. And very quickly, I came to realize that this was an extremely frustrating job, that you had the kids for 45 minutes a week, and you were expected to turn them into Joe Christian and straighten out all these issues and problems that they had. And very quickly, I realized, wait a second, the parents have them all week long, except for the time that they're in school and these types of things. But they have a tremendous amount of more time than I do to do this job. So I did the exact same thing you did in a little bit different way. I backed out, and I had actually formed then a homeschool support group to start working with the parents and to help them, train them to train their own children. But a very similar frustration. Is that what you were expressing there just a moment ago?
Oh, yeah, that's the frustration. And there's no way, if you add up all the piece of the pie that the church gets, even for a very active child in the student ministries or children's ministries of a local church, you're just getting a small piece of the pie. And the real problem is it's just not the biblical model. The biblical model is that the leaders of the church equip families to equip their children, disciple their children. And the attractional model, really the consumer-driven model, where we just try to attract people into our ministries through programs, it has the wrong goal in mind. The goal is to get people to come and attend things rather than equip them to do the work of the ministry that God has called them to do. And for parents, that primary ministry is in the home. And so, now, I don't want to lay all the blame definitely on parents. Much of the blame is on the church and how we've structured ourselves, what our goals and our vision has been. And the truth is, one of the things I write in the book is that no parent can disciple their children beyond their own level of discipleship. So I think the real weakness in the church is that we've really lost the vision to make disciples. We've made attenders and we've made decision makers, but we haven't been real effective at making disciples. And so when we talk to dads and we talk to moms about discipling their own kids, they shrug their shoulders and don't have a clue where to start because we haven't done a good job of making disciples of them.
So, you use a key word right here in the title of the book. You use the word intentional. I was just typing it in here on my Word document and asked for the thesaurus to come up, and some of the other words associated with it are deliberate, premeditated, calculated, planned, purposeful, these types of things. So here are all these words fleshing out this idea of intentional. I guess, are you saying in one way that much of the parenting that is taking place is not taking place in a planned and purposeful way, and therefore that's what we need to get to?
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. You know, life happens, and as James tells us, it's a vapor. And if we're not intentional, we just get caught up in the everyday life, and it can slip us by. I've got one of the elders in our church, I think I put this one place in the book, he always is telling me, he says, "Preacher, what gets structured gets done." And, you know, I love that. And that's so true. And if as parents, if we don't think about it intentionally and put it in a structure, in our life, if we don't structure our lives in a way that intentionally does disciple our kids, some things might happen, but it's not to the degree that I think most of us would like to see it happen.
Yeah, I love that saying. I think I'm going to borrow that if I can at our church because I think that's so true that unless you really focus on it and you break it down into meaningful, obtainable steps, it's just not going to get done. That's just the way things happen. You've got another word in here, discipleship, that you were talking about a little bit. I guess the general thinking is among people, whether we're talking about just discipleship in general among Christians and maybe even the mentality of the leadership of the church, as well as even more specifically with parents, the thinking is that just kind of by osmosis or something, discipleship will take place. That we hear this a lot in youth work or kind of see it articulated in youth work, that they're kind of hoping that somebody in the youth, among the youth, will be really spiritual and serious about spiritual things, and then the parents want to send their child to that youth group in hopes that they're going to catch this fire, and all of a sudden their son or daughter is really going to get the gospel and really start applying the gospel and start living a life for Christ. But But that doesn't normally happen that way, right? It doesn't happen that way in our own discipleship, and it doesn't happen that way in youth work. It doesn't happen that way in Christian life in general. It has to be much more structured.
Oh, I agree. I think maybe part of that is in our culture, I think we have this, we kind of separate heart issues from the mind issues when, you know, when we're told in the scripture that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, mind work is hard work.
Mm.
You know, mind work means digging in, reading the scripture, studying good, solid theological works. We're transformed by engaging our mind, and our mind and our heart are connected. And I think a lot of times parents feel like, you know, if my child can just be motivated to do the right thing.
Mm.
But that's also driven by a moralism that exists in our church, our churches too, that discipleship is about moral living. And one of the points I really want to get across in my book is that discipleship is about how much we treasure Christ.
Mm.
And morality flows from our treasuring of Jesus more than anything else in this world. And a lot of that comes from how much we know him. And so I think what you said is so true. We can't know God and know his word and know why we ought to treasure him and treasure Christ if we don't put the work in into it. And that doesn't happen by osmosis.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the word discipleship in our families. Well, of course, the built into that is the idea of discipline. And so discipline, applying ourselves and being diligent in the things of God, making use of the means of grace, making use of the tools that the Lord has given to us and the gifts that he has given to us, like the scriptures, like the fellowship of the church, like the leadership in the church and the community of the church, like prayer, all of these items being brought to bear in order to produce in us the maturity that we should have as believers, whether that maturity is in our homes with our children or whether that maturity is in the church in general. You got a great quote in here by George Whitfield in your book where he said, every house a little parish, every governor a priest, every family a flock. Getting the parents, and primarily the father, I would think, in many cases here, getting him to see that he has been put over this little congregation in his home and that he should be applying things in such a way that he is nurturing that that congregation in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is that correct? Is that where you're going in the book?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Parents have to see themselves as the primary shepherds, or I call it primary disciplers, of their children. And if the father won't lead out in it, it's most likely not going to happen. Now, there are some situations where moms take up the slack where that leadership isn't present, and we praise the Lord for those moms that do that. But if fathers would see themselves as the shepherds of their families, there would be a huge revival, I think, in our churches. I also have a quote in there from Baxter that says, if pastors will do the duty of making sure fathers, you know, fulfill that task, then the labor of the pastor will be furthered
mm-hmm.
in that task.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Yeah, he encourages the pastors then to train the fathers how to train their children, and he basically is telling them, if you do this, you can lessen the load on you because you'll have all of these other ministers in the home doing the work that they've been called to do in the lives of their own wives and children that are under them as well, and therefore the overall work of the minister of having everybody growing in the knowledge of the Lord and admonition of the Lord will be being done by all of these other subgroups, i.e. families, that make up the church. You talked about motivation a few moments ago. I think what you were getting to, and from what I've read here in your book, you mentioned a number of ways that the gospel is not the gospel, things that have come into our modern day, our modern times that have replaced the gospel, things like the prosperity gospel and easy believism, these types of things, and sign a decision card and then no other aspect of Christianity is ever seen in your life again, these types of messages. But the gospel, the true gospel that's found in these 66 books of the Bible, that becomes our motivation for Christian living. Is that where you're getting to with your discussion in the gospel?
Yeah, that's where I'm getting to. And really, the one thing I write in the book is that a motivation for discipleship ought to be love.
Mm.
Just as the most basic verse in all of Scripture we teach our kids, for God so loved the world, for God so loved a rebel planet. You know, as parents, we mirror and image forth the love of God by loving our little rebels that are born into the world. We don't like to think of them that way, but our sons and daughters are all born sinners, just like the rest of us, and we love them with the love of Christ when we do proclaim it in the gospel. And that is the first goal of family discipleship, is to saturate our homes with the gospel. That's the most loving thing we can do for our kids. And it's more important than a college education. It's more important than them excelling in school and sports or in playing a musical instrument. It's more important than, you know, their look or their image. The most important thing in the world, the most loving thing in the world, is that we saturate our homes with the gospel.
Amen.
And Kevin, it's really scary to think that a Christian home, a home named a Christian home, could exist with the gospel being non-existent in that home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that in evangelicalism, there are many cases where our homes are places where the gospel does not exist. It's just vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to drive that point home, is that if you will commit to nothing else, commit to saturating your home with the gospel. Commit to knowing the gospel, communicating the gospel, having the gospel be the filter for everything you do. Amen. And that would be a good start.
Amen. It's going to take more than just a plaque on the wall saying that Christ is the unseen guest at every meal. We're actually going to have to talk about the gospel message and talk with our children about these things. You make reference to a song as you, let me tell our listening audience, that you articulate the gospel in very succinct ways in this book, and that's going to be very helpful to them to convey that to their children. But in doing that, you make reference to a song that's written by Jordan Coughlin. I've had his dad on the program before, Bob Coughlin, and I'm going to play that song going out to our commercial break, and then when we come back from our commercial break, I'll let people know how they can get a copy of this book. I'm going to give a couple away here during the program, but let's listen to the words of this song on the way out while we go to commercial. It's called All I Have Is Christ, and it's written by Jordan Coughlin. This one is sung by the Next Band, so listen to this.
Once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me, I would refuse you still.
Everyone knows a family in crisis with a troubled teen. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, formerly serving hurting families, is a radio ministry designed to help you navigate the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Join Trace, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, as he discusses the issues your family struggles with. Although Serving Hurting Families has a new name, Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, our content remains the same, as does our broadcast times, Thursday at 12:30 p.m. and Saturday morning at 11 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I'm inviting you to join us this spring. We will be having our 24th annual conference in March from the 24th to the 26th here in Orlando, Florida. We have a tremendous team of speakers lined up for that event, including John Piper, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Steve Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr. Over our 40 years of ministries, we've been blessed that God has allowed us to link arms with like-minded teachers and ministries. One of those blessings for me has been the opportunity to work beside John Piper and the people of Desiring God to promote the cause of Christ. And to celebrate each ministry's unique focus, this conference will focus on the theme Light and Heat, a passion for the holiness of God. Register before March 17th to get the reduced registration rate. You can call 800-435-4343 or visit us at ligonier.org/events for more information.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. We're going to go back into our discussion here in just a few moments with author Ted Thompson about his book that we've been talking about here called Intentional Parenting by Cruciform Press, and I'll tell you more about that in just a few moments. But before we do, I wanted to make sure that especially the folks here in the upstate of South Carolina and right here in the Greenville, South Carolina area, we're aware of something that is taking place. I'm trying to find resources to help families, Christian families specifically, because that's the nature of our broadcast here, of course, but families here in the area to be able to provide them with some resources and some information about things taking place that would help you with your families. And I ran into one the other day. I was out with my grandson. I took him up there to Chick-fil-A up at Pelham Road. And I noticed that they had a sign up at the counter that talked about something called a daddy-daughter date night that was going to be taking place. And I said, you know, I need to find out some more about this and get somebody on from Chick-fil-A that could tell us about this. And so that's what we're going to do here for just a moment. I've asked Sherry Schilling, who's the marketing director for Chick-fil-A Pelham Road, to come on the program just for a couple minutes. Tell us what is taking place in this daddy-daughter night, or daddy-daughter date night, I should say, what the dates are, what's involved in this, and also Chick-fil-A has offered to give away a couple free tickets to this event. And I guess the best way for us to do that is I'll give you my email address. You can email me, and I will go ahead and select a couple people from the folks that email me in order to receive these tickets. Now, send me your name in the email, of course, but also your mailing address so that we can contact you and get these tickets to you. My email address is very simple. It's just kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's K-E-V-I-N at knowingthetruth.org. Just simply send that, and I'll go ahead and mention in there that you'd like some tickets to this Chick-fil-A daddy-daughter date night, and I'll be happy to select out of the folks that send me those emails. I'll select a couple, and you'll win these tickets. Sherry, first of all, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I thought you'd be much better at telling us what is going on there. So let me go ahead and just ask you, tell us about this event and what's taking place up there at Chick-fil-A Pelham Road.
Okay. We're hosting a daddy-daughter's Valentine's Day dinner. It'll take place on either Friday or Saturday, February 11th or the 12th. You have your choice of dates. You also have your choice of seating times. We have staggered seating anywhere from 5 o'clock to 7:30. We do ask that you call for reservations, and we'll give you that number in just a few minutes. We're basically going to turn that night into a fine dining experience for fathers and daughters. We'll have the maitre d' meet you at the door. He will give you flowers, the dads flowers for their daughters. We'll have a violinist strolling through the restaurant playing probably music the dads know, maybe not the music the girls know. Our waiters will be in tuxedos taking orders at the table. And dinner will be followed by a visit to the dessert bar.
Mm.
We're going to make available a photographer to do some really nice pictures of the dads and the girls so that they can take them home in a special frame to remember the night. I mean, the flower won't last forever. The memory will last forever, and the picture will help to jog their memory.
Mm.
Our goal is just to provide some quality time for dads and daughters in a safe environment where, you know, they can just enjoy each other.
Mm. Sherry, is there a certain age group that you're targeting? How old should the daughter be, you think? Any idea?
Any daughter the dad is brave enough to bring to dinner is more than welcome. We're not targeting anybody. If my father was in town, I would have signed up.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I will work it instead.
Okay. Excellent. So should we it probably isn't designed for really young. Should we say five and above? Would you think that'd be safe?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put an age limit on it because
okay.
I know that we have dads come in, especially on our kids' nights, with younger children,
okay.
And they do great.
Okay.
Do great. So I say if you're brave enough to bring your daughter, bring her on.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to limit it either. the cost of this is $10 per
it's $10 a person. It's all-inclusive.
Okay.
The picture, the flowers, the whole event, everything, the dessert bar is all included in that.
Now, when you say $10 per person, is it 10 for the dad and 10 for the daughter?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so $10 each for
right.
them to come. Okay, and then they get all of those items that you're talking about, including the picture, the flowers, the meal, the dessert bar, all of those things are all included.
The whole experience, yes.
Okay, excellent. And again, we're talking from, this will be not this weekend, but the following weekend, Friday, February 11th and February 12th. You can
right.
pick either one of those 2 days, but they have to register. I suppose it can be grandfathers and granddaughters as well. That's not a problem, right?
Sure,
okay.
Sure. And if you've got a little girl in your life that just needs a father figure, bring her.
Oh, that's excellent. Good point. Very good point. Let me ask you then, how can people register? What's the easiest way?
The easiest way is to call the store. The phone number is 297-9912. And tell them you want to make reservations for the Valentine's dinner.
297-9912?
Yes.
Okay, and that's the Pelham Road branch of Chick-fil-A, located right up there at Pelham in 85, right at that corner. Just a very a popular location there. It shouldn't be hard to find it at all. Let me put it that way. The Chick-fil-A
is
right
there. No, just look up for the chicken.
Look for the chicken. All right, Sherry. Well, thank you very much, and thank Chick-fil-A. We thank Chick-fil-A for putting this together and for caring about fathers and daughters and families here in the upstate of South Carolina. We just really appreciate you doing this, and we appreciate you guys giving away a couple tickets or so that I can give away a couple tickets here on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thanks for helping us spread the word.
Okay, Sherry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. That was Sherry Schilling again. I'll try to go ahead and put an event piece out on my website, out on www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. We'll also see if Gary can place one out on the Christian Talk 660 website that'll just point you to the Chick-fil-A restaurant, daddy-daughter date night, just so that you can, you're more familiar with those websites, and so you'll be able to go out there to get the information. So we'll go ahead and do that on both of those two websites so that you can find out. But the number she said was that Sherry told us about was 297-9912. That's 297-9912. And you can call that number to register yourself and then your daughter or your granddaughter or a little girl that you think would be that this would be helpful for. So I just want to make sure you're aware of that. Let's go back to our conversation. Now, we've been talking about intentional parenting, and I thought that that would fit very good with what we were talking about. Let me first remind you, we're talking with Dr. Tad Thompson. He's the author of this book, Intentional Parenting, Family Discipleship by Design. I have copies of the book to give away, so if you would like a copy of the book, this isn't just for folks here in the Greenville area. This is opened up nationwide. We've got people listening all over the country via sermon audio. We have set up a toll-free number. In fact, the number is ringing now. We're set up a toll-free number for people to call in, and you can certainly call in. And for your question or your comment for our special guest today, we'll get you a copy of this book mailed out to you. Now, to do that, you've got to send me an email with your mailing address in it so we know where to send the book. Again, my mailing address or email address is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Here's the number that you should call. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be happy to get a book out to you, and also for your question or comment with our special guest today. Let's I tell you what, Tad, before we go back into our conversation, the phone has already started ringing, so let me go to Terry, who's up first, and we'll see what's on Terry's mind, and then we'll go from there. Hey, Terry.
Hey there. I just wanted to ask his advice for a family where the parents were going to a very liberal church and were not saved when their children were at home. So grown children who were not hearing the gospel at home or in church for that matter. But
so would,
you know,
would the book be helpful?
As far as the parents' role.
Mm. What is the question? I just want to clarify, but are you saying then, would the book be helpful for that situation where the children were not raised in a good Bible-believing church, and so now they're older, so would the book be helpful in dealing with them?
Yeah, and really what his advice would be for parents in that situation.
Okay. First of all, from what I've read of the book, I would say that it would be good because it has just such succinct gospel messages in it, and I think it would be very helpful from that standpoint. But let me toss it to Ted and get him to answer this part. Ted?
Yeah, I actually mentioned this a little bit in the book, but don't go into great detail on it. But, you know, really, if someone, even if they have teenagers in the home and they're just thinking about family discipleship, it's challenging because you know that the years that remain are few, and if the children are out of the home, and there can be a sense of loss. But I would just encourage people that, you know, parents still have a great amount of influence on their children, even as that parental role changes. And I would say you can implement a lot of the ideas in the book just by discipling your grown children.
Mm.
You know, investing in them. You know, one of the main premises of the book is that as you are growing, you invest that growth into others. Really, the principles in the book can serve as just a primer for basic discipleship as well. And so, and really with grandchildren, what an opportunity for grandparents who love the Lord, love the gospel, to even invest in their grandchildren in intentional ways. So I would say my advice would be to invest in your children until you're gone. The Lord has entrusted you, entrusted you with a certain number of days and to capture all those days for the glory of Christ. And so in any way that's possible, investing in your grown children will reap dividends down the road.
Well, Terry, we'll send you a copy of this book to help out. And let me just mention one other resource that may help. I don't know if you heard that broadcast when I did it, but I did one called You Never Stop Being a Parent. That was the title of a book. You can find that audio file out on our website, but that might help as well. And
okay, great.
We'll be sure to send you out a copy of this book. Just send me an email, and we'll get your book out as soon as possible. Does that help?
Okay, thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks, Terry. Okay, I was going to ask you about the book. I guess the other caller, Gary, just took down some information on it, so that's okay. Let me just make sure that our listeners, though, you still got time to get in a question or a comment and also get your name in for a copy of this book. Again, that number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. If you're not able to call and you just want to send an email, I do have my email up and running. If you're sitting at your desk at work and maybe you can't get on the phone and you want to send me an email, just I'd be happy to do that. I just received an email here of somebody who's looking to take their, it says, I'm glad you asked about grandfathers and granddaughters. If you have any extra tickets, I'd like to take my granddaughter since she has no father. And so here's a grandfather saying, hey, I'd like to get in on those Chick-fil-A tickets if at all possible. So I'm receiving emails right now, so if you have a question, you can certainly send it that way, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Ted, I wanted to talk with you about the structure of the book. You, in the content, the table content here, you lay out certain rooms. You have three rooms that you talk about. One is the kitchen, the second one is the living room, and then the third one that's listed is the bedroom. I want to, under each one of those, you have a little tagline after it, the ingredients for family discipleship in the kitchen. Give us just a quick synopsis. We got another phone call that's come in, but a quick synopsis of what you mean by the ingredients of family discipleship under that heading of the kitchen.
Yeah, I like the kitchen metaphor because that's where we go to prepare our food, and if you don't have the right ingredients, you can't prepare a healthy meal. And so to get back to the intentional nature of discipleship, we need to intentionally stock our spiritual pantry, if you will, with the right ingredients to teach our children and the things of the Lord. And so you know, I'll just break that up real quickly into seven different categories, and those are designed to help parents get a handle on biblical truth in a way to think about passing that on to their kids.
Mm. Excellent. And I thought you were going to start off, if you were like me, you'd like to think about the kitchen because of the food is there. So I spent a lot of time in that that one room of the house. So a lot of discipleship, if it's going to take place, has got to take place there.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's run back to the phone lines. We got Beverly from right here from in Greenville. Beverly, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I wanted to know if the book was more of a like a practical how-to, or is it a guidance book, or what type of book would you recommend, I mean, say that this was?
Well,
because I know that grace-based parenting is cross-culture because of the way that it approaches disciplining is so contrary to what parents are doing with their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know how this book compares to something like that.
Great.
Or shepherding a child's heart.
Yeah, a great question. Just one quick comment from me, and I'll toss it right to Tad. We talked about in the beginning that it deals with the idea of strategy of implementing a lot of these other techniques that you have heard in different locations, other books, great sermons, and helpful parenting seminars and these types of things. So it deals more with strategy, but let me get Ted to expound upon that a little bit. Ted?
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear the first of the broadcast. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just made mention of that, but we can flesh it out a little bit more. Beverly, send me an email with your mailing address. We'll give you a copy of the book, and why don't we go ahead and let you take the answer offline because you'll be able to hear it better.
That sounds great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beverly. Ted?
Yeah, I think one way to look at the book is that it really strives to give parents a paradigm to work in. It's not so much giving you tips, you know, like if your child is a strong-willed child and he's throwing huge fits all the time, you might run to a parenting book about how to deal with behavior. Well, this book is really trying to give you a paradigm to fit all of that kind of truth into.
Mm-hmm. A grid or a structure.
Yeah, a grid or a structure or a strategy to, you know, to filter all of that information through. So it's not so much about parenting techniques as it is about a overall paradigm in how to parent your children, but in particular how to disciple them.
Hmm.
So that's how I would explain it.
Yeah, good. And I hope we're making that clear to people. I think that's very helpful because, as we said in the beginning of the program, that there are a number of books written on the other aspects of things, you know, the idea of different techniques that can be implemented in different situations. This book is not that. This book is about how to take all of those things that you've learned and to form a structure so that you actually implement them. Ideas are great and techniques are great, but if they never get implemented, they're useless, basically. And so this book is about how to actually get these things into use in your family. So I hope that makes sense to people listening. We were talking. Oh, go ahead, Ted.
I would just make mention, too, that the book is structured where a couple could really take this on a retreat, you know, by themselves on a weekend, and short enough they could read it together and they could really think through at the end of each chapter, and they could think through what they're doing, how they're doing it, and really they could leave on a parent weekend having a real strategy to get after the discipleship of their family. And so, you know, it's really structured to be very practical in that way. So,
in fact, I should mention that about all of the Cruciform Press books, they are all designed. This is part of the unique aspect of what they're doing. All of the books are around 100 pages. The writing in this book, I think the sixth chapter begins at page 99. I think there's some end notes and some recommended reading at the end of this book, and that goes into around page 107. So, you know, they're all around very readable. You can read these in an evening or a couple evenings anyways. It's not going to be long and drawn out. They get to the point quickly, and it's designed for you to be very readable. And that's true with not just this book, but all the books that have come out from Cruciform Press. So I just want to make sure that our listeners are clear about that. The second room that we had talked about, we looked at the kitchen and the ingredients for family discipleship, and you gave us a little synopsis. What about the living room and the context for teaching and learning?
I think oftentimes when we think about family discipleship, we think about family worship or family devotions, which is a good thing. I would recommend that everyone try to have consistent family devotions, family worship. I really wanted to communicate that to have a strategy for family discipleship, we need to think about all of life as the classroom. In the ingredients, all of Scripture is our curriculum. All of life is our classroom. And so I use the living room as a metaphor where we interact as families and have fun, have game nights and things like that. We interact, and we need to look at, you know, discipleship means that we just don't know the material, but we interact with it, and we convey it, and we apply it, and we live it out. And we do that in all of life. And so I talked about four spheres of family discipleship: the home, the community, the church, and the world. And just, again, trying to give parents a paradigm and just to start brainstorming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I do in discipleship in the community as I'm outside the house, as we're driving to school? You know, as we're going for a walk in the neighborhood, as we're at the grocery store, how can we disciple in that sphere? How do we disciple in the home, at mealtimes, at bedtime, at family time? How do we disciple, you know, how do we see the local church as helping us disciple our children and being a part of that community of faith? And do we have a vision for the world? Are we teaching our children that we're not the center of the universe, but that God is a missional God who's on mission to redeem for himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. So really wanted to give a holistic view that discipleship takes place as we go about all of life. And, of course, that flows from Deuteronomy 6
mm-hmm.
and what the Lord tells us through that passage.
We've only got a minute or so left, but I wanted to get to the last room that you mentioned here. You mentioned the bedroom as well, and under that heading you put speaking to our children's hearts. Just flesh that out a little bit, if you would, please.
Yeah, just real quickly, I use the bedroom as a metaphor because that's where we tend to be ourselves, especially I remember as a kid going to the bedroom. You have time to yourself. That's where you really just are in your own thoughts, in your own head, and having that personal time. And as parents, I really wanted to focus on the main goal is, you know, reaching our children's heart. They might treasure Christ more than anything else in the world. And we can raise our kids to love us. We can raise our kids to love themselves. We can raise our kids to be successful. We can raise them to be moral. But all of those goals really miss the point. We need to raise our children to treasure Christ in their heart, so they would delight themselves in him. And if we keep that goal in mind, that, you know, we're not just looking for kids that stay morally pure, although that's great and that's what we want, but we're looking for kids who love Jesus and treasure Jesus. And we do that through
mm-hmm.
discipleship by design.
Mm. Amen. I mentioned that there was a recommended reading section at the end of the book. That's worth the price of the book itself. There's sections in there on the gospel, the big story, or biblical theology, also about the big truths that are involved in biblical theology, which would be then called systematic theology. And so there's recommendations for systematic theology there. By the way, some of these recommendations, they're starred for you and separated into two categories, things that would be good to actually teach your children, you know, books that are designed to be for you to work with your children, and then books that are designed for the parents themselves to learn these things so that they can implement what these books teach to their children. Books on the Great Commission, on spiritual disciplines, on Christian living, on worldview, all of these are found in this recommended resources, and so that's included in the book as well. Well, Ted, thank you very much for writing this book. I hope it's mightily blessed of the Lord. We need a revival among Christian families across this nation, and I pray that this book is the one to do it. It's called Intentional Parenting, and thank you again, Ted, for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Okay. That was Dr. Ted Thompson. He is the pastor in Arkansas, but also he's the author of the book that we just talked about, Intentional Parenting, Family Discipleship by Design. It's put out by Cruciform Press. You can go out to their website at www.cruciformpress.com to find out more information. Next week on the broadcast, we'll be speaking with Michael Horton about systematic theology, and I'll be giving away tickets to the Ligonier Conference. You don't want to miss it. See you then.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio.